Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer Brad Higgins. Also joining us in our conversation is Bonnie Glick, Project Executive for IBM. Brad, many agencies are working to implement the budget and performance integration aspects of the PMA. What is the status of the Bureau's plan for this effort?
We are, as I mentioned earlier, we are at double green for progress and status for budget and performance integration. This is something that we continue to work very closely with OMB, trying to make it, you know, to take it to the next step. I think one of the challenges that we have is being a double green, well, what does that do for us? Is it integrated into the other initiatives? So we start looking at the potential of basically a balanced scorecard. Looking at the other initiatives and integrating that in. At the end of the day, the budgeting and performance integration really is supposed to describe all the aspects of the State Department because everything's got a funding aspect to it. So whether it's e-governance or real estate and things like that, how does it all fit together? And that comes back to performance. And so I think that's really the challenge of how do we pull these things together so that it becomes a real effectively a return on equity if you'd use a Wall Street parlance.
Where is the Bureau of Resource Management in terms of implementing Sarbanes-Oxley or A-123 requirements? Do you have any lessons learned that you could share with other government leaders?
Well, leaving Wall Street, I was looking forward to getting away from Sarbanes-Oxley, and I discovered something called A-123, which is the same thing, but it's for us. We have worked very hard on that at the State Department. It's we've always maintained a robust systems of management controls, as I mentioned before, going back almost 20 years. And it's something that, OMB issued its revised circular A-123 in December of 2004. The deadline was for the end of FY06. We intend to have full implementation at the end of FY2005. So this has been a big issue in our operation, trying to meet that. And it's some of the lessons, we've already learned quite a few lessons trying to meet that, and I'm confident we will meet that standard by the end of September. But it really is important because you have so many different things going on in a large agency like the State Department. And I think the key thing is to identify and then integrate these efforts into a cohesive pattern, and then that you have someone managing that process, which is someone we have in RM. Following up on sort of that collaboration, you have to be able to work closely with the OIG, the Inspector General, and with the auditor. Again, this is they aren't going to get too cozy with you, but the practical matter is you've got to work together to be able to meet these criteria. And for those who aren't familiar with A-123, in previous practices, the standard was nothing has come to our attention. Well, now we have to prove it. We have to test it and look at these rather than the other standard was significantly easier. This is no one is taking our word for it anymore. Now we have to demonstrate proficiency. And that's something that the first year it's expensive and it's time consuming. But hopefully once we get the standards in place, it will allow us to be that much more effective. But I think the challenge is first year, a lot of work, but also you have to start early. One of the things I have found, particularly in the public sector, if given enough time, you can almost, you can fix almost anything. Time is our biggest challenge. If you identify something in August with a year end at the end of September, you got yourself a real problem. Most people know OMB has, we used to get 6 months to turn in financials. Now we have to do it in 45 days. November 15th is a very hard date for us. So if we're not in place by then, we have that has pretty dire circumstances to the way we do our operations. So A-123 is a challenge, and the demands of OMB on the timing of it this also makes it doubly difficult.
Those are important lessons. We understand your focus on cost accounting and performance measurement. Can you tell us a little bit about your activities beyond in this area? Is there a balanced scorecard that's in place in the department to monitor your progress in this area?
It's something we obviously are working on, and we've had some good discussions with OMB because this is – it's the core, just doing one thing right isn't enough. You've got it integrated so you have an effective operation. And I think so for me, a balanced scorecard is very important. What we have done, though, going back to sort of the managerial cost accounting, is we've put a team together and we have been out there for about 2 years now. developing this. And we started off by identifying other agencies' best practices. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the other agencies. Some have done a terrific job. And then we sat down with all – we have 30 different bureaus at the State Department. And we sat down with all of them and we interviewed them to find out what their particular needs are, the type of cost information they need to develop budgets, their current cost accounting practices and reporting. Oddly enough, it's not always uniform. You know, the bureaus are different. And that's part of our job, is to develop a single way of a single standard so that we can have some comparability. And then coming back to looking at outputs and outcomes. We very much need to have an outcome focus, and not how many things we produce, but what type of effects they're having. And that's sort of the next step of managerial cost accounting. And when you start looking at what's the cost benefit of something, we have a lot of challenges in the U.S. government about, you know, we have choices. Some things generate a lot more benefit than others. Some things are incredibly expensive. Some things are relatively inexpensive that have huge upside. Some of the lessons we've learned at the State Department is really the effect of cultural exchanges. Relatively low cost, but unbelievably effective, because they tend to be the leaders of tomorrow in these other countries. You know, we tend to my job is really on an annual basis, but the State Department is going to be there into perpetuity, and certainly that's what I hope. So we have to be thinking at 10, 15, 20 years, who are the future leaders of the other countries, and how are we – what type of relationships we develop with them, and the earlier the better.
Brad, one of the larger business model changes in the federal government these days is the lines of business. Does the Bureau have plans to implement lines of business for the Foreign Service nationals and third country nationals serving us overseas?
Yes, Al, we do. Again, OMB has made this a top priority, trying to identify who does it best in the federal government. Clearly, our role in, under the Constitution and the practicality of being responsible for foreign relations really puts us in a position to handle the overseas. OPM has designated us as the provider of payroll for you know, the Foreign Service nationals, and it's something we intend to continue to expand upon. We will be making a submittal for this line of business for all Foreign Service support, but it is it's something that we currently handle all of the other agencies, as I mentioned, and I think this is, you know, as a practical matter, we're doing it anyway. Making it more formalized, I think, only helps.
What does the future hold for the State Department and its Bureau of Resource Management? We will ask Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer Brad Higgins to discuss this with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.